If you have your Bible, please turn to today's passage, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. May I ask you to rise as I read for us this passage. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. It says, "This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: 'The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus." Please be seated. You know, this morning we light the first candle of the Advent season, and it's the candle of hope. And Christmas is always thought to be hopeful because the Messiah is here. But the first Christmas may not seem so hopeful, particularly to Joseph. You know, when God calls us to do something, you know, we think that it will be smooth sailing, rosy all the way, but in this story it is not so. In fact, it's messy when God called his people to do something. You know, consider when God called his people out of Egypt. It wasn't comfortable. It wasn't easy. In fact, the first thing when they came out of Egypt was to run for their lives, because the Egyptian soldiers were behind and chasing and pursuing them. And when they ran and they came to the Red Sea, it was a dead end. It wasn't easy. It wasn't comfortable. It was scary and frightening. It is far from the message of today when you hear the gospel being preached, that God will bless you when you come to know him. He will bless you abundantly. He will provide for you abundantly when you believe in him. And some will even say, when you give your money to him. It was just as messy as it is for Joseph. In fact, you know, we may think it's shocking for Joseph when he listened to Mary's story, but it was. After he get past the messy, the shocking part, he realized how messy it was. Imagine, you know, right even before you start your marriage, it is a mess. And that's what happened in this story of Joseph. You know, Mary came to him with this incredible story that God has impregnated her with the Holy Spirit. You know, when you read of it, it all doesn't make sense and we don't understand, but we never think too much of it because we only focus on the coming of Jesus Christ. But what about this man? How he felt as he listened to all these things? I believe that one of the questions, if I was Joseph, I would ask, God, why are you messing up my life for me? We think that way when we are the person in that situation. But was God messing with him? In human eyes, maybe yes, but no. God has called him to become the earthly father of the Messiah. In fact, it is the greatest honor and privilege given to him. But it is just that he couldn't see it at that moment. And until God in a dream spoke to him. And so my first point from this passage this morning is, when God messes with us, he messes up big time. You know, back then, arranged marriages were a normal thing. And so Joseph, I believe, was looking forward to his marriage until this moment when his bride-to-be told him, I'm pregnant. Of course, his first reaction, assumingly, must be shock and then turn into anger and even feelings of betrayal because he wasn't the father. He might be thinking, gee, Mary cheated on me. And then next moment he might be thinking, what would the people think if I were to continue in this relationship? They would think that I'm the one who fathered this child. And consider Mary as well, because when Mary heard the news, her first reaction or response was, how will this be since I'm a virgin? And when the angels replied her, it was even more shocking. In fact, it's like out of the world. He says, God's Spirit will do it. And I wonder what was on her mind when she heard the answer. You know, what? And did she ever think about what Joseph would say when he hear about this? And what would others think of her? But you see, the simplicity of that story when you read about the account is that Mary said, okay, I'll do it. And I don't know whether she really understood the implications when she says, okay, I'll do it. And coming back to Joseph's story, if it was not for God's intervention, Joseph would have divorced Mary as he planned to do. The Christmas story would have been different. He would not have become the earthly father of the Savior of the world. And Mary, if God allows her to carry the child, if Joseph said no, Mary would have become a single mother for the rest of her life. See, when God messes up our life, so to speak, he messes up not only big time, but he messes up because he calls us to do things that we can never understand. And this is what is happening. But in that seemingly messiness, God is going to use them big time. Because God is going to bring the Messiah through the earth, to the earth, through them. You know, we cannot understand or comprehend the mind and the plan of God. You know, the recent fire in paradise, people there may not also understand why all this is happening to them. Their houses burned down, their loved ones died in the fire. They probably are thinking the same thing. Why is God messing with our lives? Just as we enter into Christmas season. And some of us may be facing disappointment, discouragement, and maybe also we are thinking the same thing. Why is God messing with our lives? But on the other side, if we see and the story that is recorded for us, maybe God has something greater in mind than what we think or can see. Could he have something better in store for us that we cannot know or see at this point? And that's a question we may want to ask ourselves, or we want to wait and see what God is doing, rather than try to jump ahead of God. Because if God don't mess up our lives to make something good out of it, we can mess up our own lives. So does God have the right to do this? Is actually another question when we think of the story. And many of us who are brought up in this kind of society that value the individual rights, we will say no. Even though we know that God has a sovereign power to do so as the creator of this earth. But if you really truly believe that God is the creator, God is sovereign over our lives, then he can do as he like. In fact, Jeremiah says that the potter can do anything with the clay. But even so, God does not take away our choice. Because here in this story, it doesn't mean that Joseph and Mary had no choice. In fact, Joseph was already determined in his mind that he's going to divorce her until God revealed his plan to him. You see, Mary could still choose not to have the child. And Joseph could just as well continue with his plan to divorce her. And the reason for Joseph's initial intent to divorce Mary is actually found in verse 19. Or is alluded there. And that is, he was a man who is faithful to the law. And the law permitted divorce when there is an adultery, per se. And in those days, being betrothed, like our engagement today, was actually more taken more seriously than our engagement today. It is as good as being married, except for the consummation of the marriage. But at the same time, because he is a man who is faithful to the law, he is also gracious and merciful. He understood the nature and the character of God. And he didn't want to shame her publicly. And he just wanted to quietly send her away. And at this point, he did not know what God was doing. And actually, if you think about it from hindsight, which is always the best, 2020, to allow God to work out his purposes in our lives actually is better than us trying to do so, because we mess up our own lives. It's better than living aimlessly and even foolishly, and some people do today. Even people with good plans, okay, they don't actually follow through their plans. In fact, some of them change it as quickly as they change their clothes. You see, I don't know whether you're friends like this, but I've seen friends who spend their 4 years and maybe even two more in graduate school studying in this field. And then when they ended up doing something else after that, they was working in a totally different career from what they studied. And one of them was a good friend of us, Joyce and me. They were in Singapore and then they moved to Toronto. And he actually is a computer science student. Now he's actually an investor, an insurance agent even. Now, from Singapore, he changed to an investor and then came to Canada and he now is an investor, an insurance guy. You know, that's how, even with a plan, we can change. You know, I did not plan to become a pastor. Don't think this is my first choice. You know, when I went into the Christian halfway home for help of my drug addiction, I have a very simple plan. Get help, be a normal guy, find a job, find a wife, have children, grow old and die. But God changed it all. Although God did give me a job, give me a wife, give me children, He changed my plan. He called me into the ministry. And even when I answered His call, I did not plan to be a pastor. I always thought that I would be a missionary. Yet, He made me one. You know, I remember when I first came to Canada, I told my wife and myself, I said, I'll never come to the States. And now I eat my words. Okay. God can change your plan. And God's plan is always better than our plan. Although sometimes I wish I had done something else, especially in difficult times. You know, Joy's parents also had plans. Their plans for her was study anything else, but not church music. That's her first degree. They wanted her to marry a doctor or a dentist, like her sister, not a poor pastor. But God's plan is better for her. I don't know whether she agrees with me. But she obeyed God, right? She obeyed God. You see, God has every right as our creator to mess up our plans. But at the same time, He still gives us that choice to obey or not to obey. And if Joseph and Mary chose not to, He would not have been able to use them to accomplish His plan, His purposes. But He will find someone else. And likewise, if we choose not to, God will also find someone else. And so when God messes up our lives, He messes up big time. But the end is always good. And that is the hope that we can have in Christ Jesus. Because in verses 20 to 25, the story continues and it unfolds that in that messiness, there is messianic purposes. There is salvation. There is redemption, not just for you, but for all. And that's what this story is all about. You see, God's plan is not messy. It is messianic. It has redeeming purposes. After God made known His plan to Joseph in a dream, Joseph obeyed God. And how he did it? Through a dream. An angel appeared to him and told him, "Don't be afraid." And, you know, the same thing he said to Mary, "Don't be afraid." Why was he afraid? Because the thing actually for that, you know, hearing the story about Mary being pregnant, That's nothing frightening. It's just that you get angry and upset and feel betrayed. So why was he afraid? And so it got me thinking, was he afraid to be accused for having premarital sex with his fiancée? Especially when he was known as a man who is faithful to the law. That means people all know him as a godly person. Right? So was he afraid that because of this, and if he just continue with the relationship and marry her, people will think that he is responsible for her pregnancy? And if that is so, then it is not anything else but pride. His fear was his pride, that what people would think of him. You know, all of us don't want people to think bad of us, right? And we don't want to look bad to people. We want people to accept us, praise us, love us. And maybe that's what he was struggling with. And that's why he was afraid. And then how did God respond? How did God help him overcome his fear? He uses the scripture. He uses the prophecy of Isaiah to show Joseph he is fulfilling his covenantal promise to Israel. He has promised to the prophets that the Messiah will come from the line of Judah, in the Old Testament it tells us, particularly a descendant of David. And Joseph and Mary fit that bill. And he's using Joseph to fulfill this promise of bringing the Son of God, the Messiah, into the world. That child in Mary's womb. And he tells Joseph, call him Jesus. And the name Jesus means Savior. And the one who will save his people from their sins, the scriptures there says. He is Emmanuel, God with us, the one coming into the world to be with us so that he can live and die for us. And when God comforted him and showed him through the scriptures, and he woke up from his dream, he did exactly what God told him to do. He took Mary home as his bride, his wife, but he did not consummate the marriage until Jesus was born. And then he called this child Jesus, as God told him. See, that's what the Word of God must do to us. When we hear it, when we understand it, we must obey it. And that's what Joseph did, even though he couldn't understand how this is possible and why God is doing all these things. And then, when we say, okay, God, I'll do it, we'll think that God will take care of the rest. And that's what people tell us too, right? You know, when you obey God, God will smoothen the path for us and all those things. He will open roads in the desert for us to travel on. But that's not all the time true, especially in this story. In fact, it became worse for Joseph and Mary. Because he allowed a census to be taken during that time. And Joseph had to take his pregnant wife with a big tummy to travel on a journey to go to Bethlehem so that a child can be born in that city. And it is because the prophecy says that the birthplace of the child will be in Bethlehem. And second, he allowed Jesus to be born in a manger. as it was prophesied that there is no room in the inn for him to be born. Why did God not make it easier? You know, at least for his own son, Jesus, right? No. How would you feel if you are a child of the king and born in a place reeked with the smell of animals and their waste? Right? How would you feel? You probably grew up thinking that, hey, you know, I'm not worthy, you know, and then you get all this self-image problem and self-esteem problem. Right? But no, God allowed it to happen as to fulfill his prophetic words. Then third, God did not make it easier because God allowed Herod to make a decree to kill all the male children when he heard about the Messiah is going to be born. And it forces Joseph to take his family to flee to Egypt after that. And as I thought about it, I said, wouldn't it be easier for God to just kill Herod? You know, and Joseph didn't have to go out to this hardship. And then one more. God allowed Joseph to die at a younger age than Mary, leaving her to raise up three children on her own as a single mom. Because somewhere between the time Joseph took his family back from Egypt to Nazareth, he passed away. See, God didn't make things easier for him or his family, but harder. You know, and as we think of all this, we think that, you know, Isaiah is so gloomy, but it's not, let me tell you. Because in doing so, he made it easier for the whole world to come to salvation. All, this whole story. The whole world is able to be saved from sin because the Messiah came. And without a doubt, it is him that is prophesied in the scriptures because he fulfilled the scriptures to the dot. And so nobody can doubt he is not if they know the scriptures. You know, we think that God will make everything easier for us when we come to Jesus. But it is Jesus himself who told his disciple that, you know, you're going to be persecuted for following me. And he's the one who says that, you know, there's a broad and easy path. Everybody wants to go on it. But there is a straight and narrow one that no one likes to travel on. See, God's way is not easy. It can be messy, like the cross. In fact, the cross is more than messy. The cross is bloody. But the outcome is blessing. The blessing not just to you, but the blessing to others. And so if you find life hard as a Christian, as a follower, don't be surprised. And Jesus says the same thing. But there's one thing that we always forget is that Jesus also promised that he is with us. His ways are higher than ours. And his way is harder. But if you travel on it, you will discover that it's a better way. The rewards are greater, though they may be different than what we expect. And for Joseph and Mary, they learn it the hard way. We have the story to teach us, but they learn it the hard way. But there are four things from we can see here when they see Jesus growing up, and they probably understood one by one as it is revealed to them, and they realize that it is all God's grace and mercy. and it's God's blessing. And so first of all, if you look at, you study the gospel, you'll find that when all this is happening, Jesus came in the world and growing up, the first thing that they noticed, or at least one of the things that they noticed was, or not noticed, but they were surprised by what they see. Okay. And so there is an element of surprise. Because in Luke 2, when they left Jesus behind without knowing that they left him in Jerusalem, they went back and then they found him. And Jesus' reply was, "Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" They didn't understand, but the scripture tells us that Mary treasured in her heart. And then in Luke 2:40, okay, I don't know who makes that comment, but they observe and they saw that Jesus grew and become strong. And he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. An observation someone made about Jesus when he was growing up, and it's recorded for us in Luke. And in Luke 2:33, the people openly said this about Jesus, and the child's surprised by this, his wisdom and his in his young age and all those things. And so this got the father and the mother, because 33 says the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. There was this surprise element. And I'm sure that surprise is not just surprise alone, because there is probably the feeling of being proud to be the parents of this young man who has insight and wisdom that wow the people. You know, when our child gets, you know, whatever, first in whatever competition, how proud are we? We are very proud of them, right? Sometimes we even brag about them to our friends. And I'm sure Joseph and Mary, at those moments when they see all these things, not only were they surprised, but they are proud that God gave them the privilege and the honor to have his son to be their earth, to have them be the earthly parents of this child. And second, there was this element of joy too. And this is especially true for Mary, because Joseph passed away earlier. And so Mary must have been happy, proud that her son became a well-known rabbi, because people were following him, learning from him as he teach the scriptures. And not only that, he was a healer of the sick. You know, we would call a doctor, right? But he was a healer. And he had a group of people following him. And so, if I'm a parent of such a child, you know, I'll be proud because he's contributing to society. Which parent wouldn't want to ask for more? To have a child, a son, who is contributing to the society. You know, people back then, their values are different from us today. It isn't about growing up to become doctors and engineers like today and make big bucks. But it is about being respectable, godly, and wise, and contributing to society. You know, when I think about this, I think, you know, those people who are worldly-minded will say, you know, isn't Jesus dumb in some sense, because he didn't charge anybody for what he did, like heal them? At least he could do is like some of these, you know, healers that we have today, is pass the offering back around. And that is not who Jesus is. He is a man
who is honorable and contributes freely without an expectations of any reward. You know, whenever our children comes home with a test score of 95, Asian parents will say, where is the other 5? And that's not the culture or values of those times. And so I'm sure Joseph and Mary were happy and proud when they found Jesus to be growing up in wisdom, stature, in favor with God and with men. And then thirdly, there was this element. Sorry, I say 4 things. It's actually 3 things only. Until I remember the 4th thing, I find the 4th thing, I'll tell you. There was this element of hope, which is the candle that we lit today, the candle of hope. You know, hope at the end must have filled the heart of Mary. You know, she saw him die on the cross, and it seemed hopeless. And in fact, Jesus on the cross says, "Hey," he told his disciple, "This is your mother now. Take care of her." But on the 3rd day, when she sees the Son rising from the dead and afterward ascending into heaven, she must have felt hope. Not only for her Son, but for everything that he has said is true. The world will be saved through him. Because if she suddenly realized at that time that her Son was really who he said he was, because he is able to rise from the dead. And I believe that hope strengthened her, even when life wasn't going to be easy from then on, and even though she did not understand everything. But she knew God wasn't messing with her life. God was using her and blessing her and to bless others. It is we ourselves who are the ones messing up our own lives by our own choices and our own decisions. You know, the story of Fanny Crosby tells us that, you know, because if you don't know God, you read Fanny Crosby's story, you'll think that God messes up her life, or God had messed up her life, allowing her doctor, actually, to give her the wrong medication as a baby. And so she ended up becoming blind. Instead of growing bitter, Fanny Crosby's condition actually make her more spiritually attuned and sensitive to God. As you can see this, or you can sing of it in the hymns that she has blessed others when we sing it today. And then you think of H.G. Spafford, okay? He's the famous guy who wrote the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." God uses the death of his children to inspire him to write this inspiring hymn, to bless others in times of difficulties. Spafford's wife and his children were on a ship to England, and he was supposedly to join them later. But the ship was sunk, and the children died except for the wife, who was saved. And when you think of all this story of people like Crosby or Spafford, it will tell us that, you know, following Jesus is not easy. It can be very difficult. But from what we go through and experience, eternity can have a far-reaching impact for the good of others because of God using us in His scheme and in His plans. God's way are higher than ours. He isn't messing with us. He's involving us in His plan. If we are mad with Him because we think He's messing with us, don't be, but trust Him. He's using us to bless others, just as He used Joseph and Mary to bring peace to the world. Emmanuel, God with us. So, in closing, if your child comes and tell you that God has called him into full-time ministry, God is not messing up your life for you. Let God have His ways with him instead of demanding that he does what you have planned for him. Because this is what always I hear as a pastor, especially in the Asian circle, right? We want our child to be to do all these things, but when it is talking about going into ministry, that's a no-no for them. Looking from a human perspective, it seems God has messed up Joseph and Mary's life. But then if we understand and look at God's bigger plan for mankind, it wasn't. Jesus came into the world and he says this, I came to give you life and to give it to you abundantly. Not, I'm coming to mess with you. Arnold, whatever you have to pronounce his last name, the former governor, okay? He will mess up your life. But not Jesus Christ. Okay, Jesus Christ will bless you and reward you for your faithfulness to him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your willingness to come into this world. And through you, God, we are blessed. In fact, the whole world is blessed because of your coming. You not only bring hope, but you bring salvation. Salvation for us right now until we meet our Father again in eternity. So Father, we thank you and praise you for our Lord Jesus Christ as we enter into the season of Christmas. And may we always be grateful to you and found faithful in following you despite of our failure to understand what is happening around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.